So a couple weeks ago, I talked on a Sunday morning about attitude and having an attitude and making sure that our attitude, in a way, I was pointing fingers at myself, but I said, I'm having an attitude check. I want to make sure to, like I tell my kids, let's check our attitude, right? So I'm going to continue just a little bit on with that, but I talked about, there was five different things that I was going to talk about, and they were attitudes that I want to grow in. In 2017, in my own personal walk with God, attitudes. And so let me just kind of preface a couple things real quick by saying when it comes to attitudes, your attitude to me can be two different things, right? Your attitude can be something that goes with the flow. So, in other words, based on your feelings or what's going on in the situation or the scenario, or you can control your attitude, right? Those are very basic, elementary things that I've got to remind myself about. Because most of the time when we talk about attitude, you think of a negative, right? You think of negative attitude, or man, check your attitude, or you've got an attitude, and we think of this negative thing. But what that really means is that we're being led by our attitude. We're being led by our emotions. We're being led by the situation and the circumstances around us. So for me, these are some things that intentionally I want to grow in. We talked a little bit about that when it comes to our attitude. If we're just living with the flow of life and whatever happens and we allow that to be our attitude, it's probably going to be anger and it's probably going to be frustration. Those are the attitudes that we're going to see, right? But when we're intentional about it and we're purposeful and we live life from perspective that I'm going to grow and I want these attitudes to be a part of my life, there's something that not only do these attitudes become something that we do, these attitudes become something of who we are. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. I want these to be areas of my life that I am rather than areas of my life that I do something. So the very first area that I really want to grow in is, number one, I want to grow in an attitude of prayer. Prayer for me is something that I've always prayed. Prayer's always been a part of my life. Prayer's always been something that's important. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've been convicted in this, that it's something more that I do rather than something of who I am. Do we pray or are we prayers? It flows out of us. It's who we are. It's not just something that we do because we're told we need to do it, or something that we do at the dinner table, or something that maybe we do at night, or is it something that flows from us because it's become a part of who we are so much that we are prayers, right? So, attitude of prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18. We all know this one. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, right? So prayer can be two things. Prayer can be an act, or prayer can be, I'm going to say it this way, an attitude. Prayer can be who we are. So when something happens in our life, this is just a question I ask, and I'm asking myself as well, when something negative happens, when a problem of life comes, when things, situations take place in our life, do we pray first or do we do something else first? What's our reaction? In other words, is our attitude to get frustrated? Is our attitude to get bent out of shape? Is our attitude to have these other things that we maybe do first, or we try something first? Or is our instant attitude, I'm a prayer, and so what's going to flow out of me is going to be prayer? And I'll have to be honest with you, I'll just use a goofy situation, but I think it's a situation, Ms. Durrett's used this before. You lose something. You lose your keys. What's the very first thing you do? Junk, I'm late. I gotta find these things. Where in the world are they? So you spend 20 stinking minutes trying to find your keys, and then all of a sudden you go, God, will you please help me find these keys? And then what happens? You find your keys, right? I feel like I can learn from that, from my own mistakes in that area, that ultimately, that's a goofy little example. Use that on whatever other example that you want in your life. Is our first reaction, God, I need you. God, help me. God, control my life. Use me. God, teach me. God, give me wisdom. Is that our very first reaction? Is our first reaction frustration and all those kinds of things, right? So for me, a key to living an attitude of prayer is this, and this is something I really want to grow into my life, a recognition that God is always present. I think if we lived from a perspective that God is always there, God is always present in our life, we would live a little bit differently. Am I right? When he is with me on that, when you're driving down the road and the guy cuts you off, if you recognize that God is sitting in the seat with you, right, that he's there present, we're probably going to react a little bit differently than if it's just ourselves in the car and we scream and we get, you know what I'm saying, right? So living life with this understanding that God is always present is a difference there. So when Paul talks about pray without ceasing, is he saying to walk around and to be a nun and that you have to devote your entire life to prayer and every second of your day is prayer? The Dr. Cho's type of a thing. And he's a prayer warrior, so don't get me wrong in this. I'm not trying to cut his feet out from under him. But the Dr. Cho thing is that if you don't pray for 5 or 6 hours a day in the Spirit, uninterrupted, you're missing it somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? My point in this is pray without ceasing is an attitude. It's a response. It's a natural response that flows out of us because prayer has become something that's so important in our life because we recognize that God is present. If we recognize that God is present in our life, guess what? We're walking, and I've used this example before, but we're walking hand in hand with God, with our daddy who loves us, who wants to help us, who wants to show us things, who wants to guide us places and lead us places. If we could get that in our heart that says that God is there with me, present, all day long, every day. We live a little bit differently, right? So when we talk about this idea of intentional attitude, that takes intention because we don't see God, right? God's not this obvious force around us unless if we're looking for him. And then he becomes very obvious, right? So it's this intentional, God, you're present in my life, creating opportunities to show God, you're present in my life. Does that make sense? Really, an idea that, and I love this about Mr. Ed, and I'll just keep using her as an example because she's great, honestly, in this area. This is great for her. I am going to learn from her in this. But it takes an intentional person to live a life of prayer when it comes to you go into Costco. Because in my mind, when I go into Costco, I see the lines, and I see the chaos, and I see the people, and there's stuff happening everywhere, and it's crazy in there, right? But to live a life of prayer would say that when we're walking around, we would have this understanding that God is present, and we're asking, God, use me today. God, help me to help people. So instead of walking by the person who just dropped something on the ground, we've got a prayerful heart that says, God, I want to be available. I want to be used by you. You're present in my life. Give me wisdom. Give me opportunities to be used by you. Does that make sense? That's an attitude of prayer that says on a regular basis, that person, they look like they're struggling. I'm going to intentionally help them. That's an attitude of prayer. Why? Because God's present in our life, and it's more than us. It's the selfie church, right? It's the I'm looking outward. I'm flipping the lens. I'm looking at what's going on. And what it takes first off is that we're looking at God, right? We've changed our focus. So that's number one. I'm just going to briefly go through some of these. Otherwise, I'm going to spend like 15 hours, and you guys will not love me at the end of that. So number two, an attitude of praise. Number one, I think it connects with all of these connect together in some way. And a lot of the points are really going to connect together. Have you know that you understand that God's present, you're probably going to live a different life, right? When it comes to your prayer life and your praise life. But Psalms 34, verse 1, starting the second part of the verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So in other words, that same attitude, right, of pray without ceasing, and I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I'll tell you that one of the best examples that I know of in this is Pastor Lynn's pastor, Brother Bierman. Every other line that comes out of his mouth is praise God, praise God, praise God. And I love it. So there's this thing that he's constantly, there's this constant recognition of God. This constant recognition that this happened, praise God. This happened, praise God, right? There's a constant recognition. And I want to grow in that area to where I'm constantly recognizing the hand of God in my life. I'm constantly recognizing that there's things to be thankful for. I'm constantly recognizing that in the good stuff and in the bad stuff and all around that God is present in my life and I need to be thankful. That takes an intentional living and being a praiser, right? Again, this is another opportunity. You can either praise or you can be a praiser. That means it's an intentional, I'm going to live that way. Because what happens in the bad times, in the tough situations, in the circumstances of life that come against you, naturally praise doesn't flow, right? It naturally grumbling happens, and naturally fear happens, and naturally those are the things that flow out of us. But if there could be something that we practice on the inside of our hearts that says, there's a recognition of God in my life right now, and I praise him for it. So in the tough stuff, and I'm not going to spend tons of time on this one. I'm just going to encourage you in this. Get Jeremy Carpenter's message from January 8th, and it was phenomenal. And what I'm going to do is briefly, I'm going to go over his notes real fast, okay? Because honestly, he said everything I wanted to say in this area. But living a life of praise, one of the things that he mentioned, doesn't only affect you, it affects everyone around you. And I kind of mentioned that a little bit on Sunday. Our attitude changes our atmosphere. Our attitude equals our atmosphere. What that means is not only does it equal our atmosphere, but those who are in your atmosphere, right? You're changing them. You're doing something. So if we live a life that's non-intentional and we live a life that's not purposeful, in other words, we're not trying, what happens is other people's atmosphere changes our life. The situations and the circumstances change our life. But if we live in such a way that's intentional with this, guess what? Our praise changes other people's lives. Our recognition of God in our life changes other people's lives, right? Praise, one of his main points was this. Praise always puts us in opposition to our problems. Because what we're saying is opposite of how we feel. That's attitude, right? Because attitude flows out of the inside of us. So when it comes to our feelings, if we base our attitude on our feelings, it's usually going to be not positive. It's usually going to come from a negative side, right? What's flowing out of us is the negative. But when we decide that we're going to praise God in the midst of the situations and the storms and the circumstances, guess what happens? It causes us to change our focus. Saying something out loud, this is something else he said, forces you to confront your issues. We don't like to confront our issues very often, do we? But saying something out loud forces us to confront those issues. It forces you to say something regardless of your emotions and how you feel. So that's attitude. Recognizing that how I feel isn't always right. Right? We got to remind ourselves that. We can very, very easily be led by our emotions or led by the circumstances around us. And praising God changes our focus from how I feel to what is reality. And reality isn't always what we say is reality, right? We walk by faith and not by sight as Christians, right? We walk from a perspective of what does God say about this rather than what does the world say about this. And so if we look at it from that perspective, praise changes our focus from natural to faith, right? So we speak in faith, we say things in faith, we see things in faith, and then what happens? It produces something. So in our lives, praise does that. It produces. Praise forces us to thank God. I'm going to say it exactly how he said it. And from everything in me, in some ways, wants to argue this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Praise forces us to thank God for the adversities of life. For the adversities of life. So we would argue sometimes that in the adversities of life, and I wrote it down exactly how he said it, and I'm just going to expand on it for just a minute. That's an attitude. So in other words, what we're not doing is we're not saying, God, you did this bad stuff to me, but we're thanking him for the adversity. Do you see the difference? The difference from even an attitude of, I just think sometimes the way we look at it is, well, I'm going through this situation, and I'm just going to be glad when I get out of this situation. We look at it that way compared to an attitude of, God, thank you for this situation. In other words, in this situation, you're going to do something. And I have faith that you're going to perfect the faith on the inside of me, right? I've got faith that you're going to do something in me, that you're going to change me, you're going to mold me, you're going to use me. On the other side of this, I'm going to come out a better man. On the other side of this, I'm going to be able to be used more by you because of this situation. That's an attitude of praise, right? Or we could look at the problems. We could look at the situation. We could say, I'm in this valley right now, and oh junk, and oh me, and oh my. And what does that do to us? Well, that's the opposite attitude. And what does that do? That keeps us in the valley. that keeps us in a spot to where our attitude becomes bitter and our attitude becomes anger and fear and all those kinds of things. And we don't grow in that. But if we could change to where we thank God for and in and through the adversity that we're in, because he's going to help us through it, and on the other side of it is good stuff. Amen? I think it's a good attitude to have. David, he used David as an example a lot, but David did that. And one of the things that I say often, and I just think this is something good for our lives, is David was a pep talker to himself. And so he was praising God, but how many of you guys know that God doesn't need anything? God's perfect. So God doesn't need our praise. But you guys know that God, I believe, created praise not just so he can be glorified, because it does something on the inside of us. So when we praise God because he deserves our praise, there's a blessing in it that we're changed in the process. So he's doing something on the inside of us and doing changing us because we're changing our focus. Amen. So give yourself a pep talk sometimes. Sometimes it takes that David pep talk of, and it's all towards God, but it's, God, I'm in despair. Tough life is happening around me, and my family's been removed, and all these things are happening around me. But God, you've been faithful. By the other side of his talks to God and to himself, he's excited. He's ready to go out and kill the enemy and do everything else and get his family back, right? That's what praise does. But that becomes an attitude in our hearts that rather than focusing on the grumbling, rather than focusing on the problems, I want to more quickly in 2017 get to the praise. Does that make sense? More quickly, I want to get to that. So how do we cultivate an attitude of praise? I just say it this way, and it's very simple. I want to practice it, okay? It takes intentionally practicing cultivating praise. I'll say it even this way. If we only practice praise on Sunday and Wednesday, we're going to have a hard time, right? You just watch the greatest Super Bowl of all time, in my opinion. It was amazing, a great game, right? You guys loved that game, stinking amazing, and my team didn't even win, but it was still such a great game. Those guys out there, and I'll use Tom Brady as an example because he's phenomenal, he doesn't just practice two times a week and then say that he is the greatest quarterback of all time. And I'm going to get hate mail after tonight by even saying that. But he, in other words, if you were to just kind of put ourselves, we want to be an all-star Christian. We want to be a pro when it comes to serving God and loving God and walking in his will for our lives. Look at a Tom Brady as an example, besides cheating, okay? Look at Tom Brady as an example. What does that mean? He's out there before anyone else on the practice field, and he stays longer than anyone else on the practice field, and he dreams it, and he eats it, and he thinks it, and it becomes so much a part of him that he doesn't play football. He's a football player. Does that make sense? I could go out, and I can throw a football around, and I could say I'm a football player, but all it is I'm throwing a football around. Honestly, I think when it comes to our attitude, many times that's how we live. We say we're Christians. We do some Christian stuff, but are we living it? Is it a part of who we are? Has it become our attitude that flows from who we are? Because we eat it, we drink it, we think it, we love it, everything about it is who we are. Amen? That's what I'm talking about when it comes to attitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Add one more in there. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Let me spend 2 seconds on this. You know, it's really, really easy to praise in the good times. Or maybe I'll go two different directions at this. Sometimes it's even easier to praise in the bad times, because we can live life on our own. We can do our own thing just fine when we've got control, but then we turn to God when we need him. Or it's really easy to praise God when we're doing good, but then when the hard times come, it's like, gosh, why is this happening to me? And all we do is grumble about it, right? I believe this. I think in order for us to have an attitude of praise, we have to get good at praising God in both the good times and in the bad times. It has to be something that is so cultivated in us that when the bad stuff comes, we've practiced. In other words, Tom Brady doesn't get out there on the football field and the first time that he played was in the Super Bowl, right? What did he do? He's got a life of experience, and he's got a life of practicing and a life of playing and a life of doing these things, so it flows from him. For us, we have to get good at in the good times, we're serving God. Not just when it's easy or not just when we need him, right? But on a regular basis, we're recognizing God's presence in my life. God, I need you. God, I want you, right? The James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's an attitude, right? That's an attitude that in the bad times, God, I'm going to praise you right now because you're good and you're faithful and you've helped me through it before, and I'm going to grow in this, and I'm going to praise you and thank you for the bad times. That's a tough spot to get to, but what does that take? That takes practice. It takes practice. God, thank you for your faithfulness. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all of those things. Amen. Number three, moving along. I want to grow in my attitude of gratitude, attitude of thankfulness, right? So a couple different points that I have in this. Gratitude, number one, shifts your mindset. It changes your focus. It changes what you're looking at. In the process of going through tough stuff in your life or whatever, we can do two things. We can allow life to change us, or we can change and we can grow. And I want to encourage us again, waiting for life to change you or allowing life to be what directs you is only going to take you wherever it wants you to go, right? And God has another plan for our life. So for us, living intentional, right? I'm going to keep on hammering that into myself. When you're stuck in a problem mentality, you miss out on a lot of opportunities for solutions. When you're stuck looking at the problems, I believe this, God is knocking on your heart trying to help you, right? He's trying to knock and say, let me in. And when all we're doing is we're focused on the back door of life and all of the problems that are happening, we don't hear the doorbell ringing. Is that a weird way of saying it? That's my visual. So when we're focused on him, right, and when we're focused on the positives and the opportunity of life and looking at it from a perspective of gratefulness, we change the way that we look, right? Change the way that we live. So living an attitude of gratitude is about being proactive and intentional. We cannot be passive in that, right? We have to be purposeful. We have to, on purpose, find the things to be thankful for. Because in life, I'll tell you, it can be really easy to be critical and to find the negatives and to find the problems, right? So for me, one of the things that I'm working on and that I've committed to do in 2017 is at nighttime when I go to bed, one of the things I do is I think about the positives of the day. I think about what God did in my life that day. What I used to do, and the reason why I'm growing, is I used to sit there and think about all of the stuff that was coming up. What's going to happen in the next day and what I've got to prepare for and what are those things. And what does that do? It just brings anxiety, just brings thoughts of whatever, right? But what I began to realize is if I could go back and I could recognize the things that God has done in my life today, it begins to do something on the inside of my heart that creates an attitude of gratitude. In other words, if all you're doing is living life, you'll never live a life of gratitude. But if you intentionally, on purpose, begin to focus on the things that you're thankful for, what's going to happen on the inside of you is you'll begin to produce an attitude of gratitude. So one of the things that I'm doing, and I got this honestly from a secular business book, okay? They call it a gratitude journal. And I laughed at it when I very first thought about it. And I don't write it down like maybe you should, but maybe that's an area I need to grow in as well. But they called it a gratitude journal that at the end of the day, you were supposed to go for your business and write down your wins, write down the things that were awesome, write down the things that you succeeded in with your business. And I thought about it from this spiritual perspective, that if you look at the Old Testament, what did the Israelites do? As they would go along, they would set up these altars and they would praise God and they would thank God and they would rejoice with the things that God did, that God delivered them and God did these things. In our own lives, do we do that? Do we purposefully set up an opportunity to be grateful? Do we purposefully go back and say, God, thank you for delivering me out of that. God, thank you for my family. Gosh, that could have been a really bad deal, but God, you really helped me in that. And then what does that do? That produces something on the inside of you that on the other end of it, what are you focused on? You're putting the God stuff on the inside of you. You're doing what we talked about two Sundays ago. You're renewing your mind, according to the Word of God. By the good stuff that God's doing in your life, you're changing your heart, you're changing your mind to focus on the God stuff. Amen? So it's the positive bank account thing that I love to use. What you're putting in you is what's going to come out of you. What you're depositing into your heart is what you're going to be able to remove from your heart. If you're not if you're putting negative stuff in, that's what you're going to be able to remove, right? If you're putting the good God stuff in, that's renewing your heart. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Colossians 2:5-7. Sorry, media guys. Y'all are awesome for keeping up with me. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoiced to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So there's a key in that verse that I absolutely love, and it's in that second part right there. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. And honestly, this is the key that you can connect with every single one of these points, every one of these attitudes. And it's, are we walking in Christ? Are we walking with Christ? Is it a matter of, again, he's present in our life, and we're recognizing that on a regular basis, daily basis, he's with me. In other words, you're in my life, right? There's the key right there. And then we've rooted ourselves in him, it says. Built yourself up, rooted yourself. What's your core? What's your foundation? What do you go back to? Right? If your foundation isn't in Christ, guess what? It's going to be in something else, and it's not always going to work. But if our core, if our default, if our whatever other computer terms that you want to use is in Christ, guess what? When we boot up, when something happens, our default goes back to him. Amen? So the result of that is thanksgiving. In other words, when we thank God and when we put our focus on him and when we're walking with him, it produces a cycle, in other words, because we begin to recognize how grateful we are and that it all comes from him and all those kinds of things, and it produces an attitude of gratitude in our hearts that produces, I guess, even just an atmosphere of thankfulness. Amen? Walking with him. The NIV, I think it's the NIV, it's another one of the translations that I found, says, you will overflow with gratitude. That's what it's all about right there. It's an overflow of gratitude. There's so much good stuff happening that it's an overflow of gratitude, but that still comes down to an attitude, because I guarantee you'll find the negatives if you're looking for them. But if it's an attitude and it's something that becomes who we are, it'll flow out of us. Number four, I'm going to get through these real fast here. Attitude of peace. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I'll say this. I haven't always seen myself as the peacemaker, okay? I'll just be real honest with you. I love to argue. I really do. I love to argue. I love to play games. I love to be competitive. So naturally for me, I'm not the peacemaker. I'm the devil's advocate most of the time. I see the problems. I critique things. But I want to get better in my life at being the peacemaker. I want to get better in my life at bringing peace. And I'll tell you why. I honestly believe that the world is looking for peace, right? The world prays for peace, and they don't even believe in God. You know, they pray this mass prayer of peace to take place. But God has called us to be the peacemakers. Do we seek after peace? Do we crave peace? Do we want to see peace happen? Philippians 4, which I just read the first part of this earlier, but 4:4-8. And read this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So this just sums up all the other stuff that we just talked about, right? Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all his understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble. I read that wrong. Whatever. You got that. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If I just said it like I've memorized it, it'd be better. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. There's a lot in that, and I'm not going to unload all of that, but if you guys know that if we look from a perspective of what are we putting on the inside of us, if all I'm doing all day long is watching Fox News and CNN, guess what's going on the inside of me? Not peace. So what's it going to produce? Not peace. I know there's a better whatever for that, anonym for that, but what is it, right? What we're putting on the inside of us is going to produce something. Are we putting peace in us? If I want to be a peacemaker and a peace seeker and someone who is showing peace and the love of God to people, what do I need to do? I got to put God stuff on the inside of me, all right? It's an intentional deal. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard it that it said to you, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your neighbors, bless those who curse you. I want to take this verse out of the Bible sometimes. I'm just throwing that out there. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So I say it this way. Pretty easy to be peaceable when you're around peaceable people. Maybe even say it a little bit differently. Pretty easy to love peace people that are lovable. One of the things I really want to work on in 2017 is how am I doing at loving people that are unlovable? In other words, how am I doing at being peaceable in a scenario that's hard to be peaceable, right? And one of the things, and I'm just going to be honest with you, one of the things that I'm really working on, and it all comes from a sermon that Pastor Lynn preached, and I got convicted back in October, back before the politics all happened, and in November took place, and President Trump is now President Trump. I really had to work on my heart with people, right? There's people. Again, when it comes to people in our life that are easy to love, I can pray for them all day long, right? But when it comes to people that maybe I disagree with or people that are in politics, political power, I have a hard time, just being honest with you, hard time praying for those people, right? But there's scripture there that talks about it, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, and I'm going to close with this and just tell you the last one. Therefore, Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Say that with me, all men. I think that's really important for us to remember, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, whose desire all men for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I just want to encourage you in this. This is something that's really helping me. I started doing this with President Obama, and I'm doing it now with President Trump, and I'm doing it with the other leaders that are around me. And sometimes it's tough, but praying for people that maybe are making decisions that you totally don't agree with, and maybe President Obama was the one you didn't agree with, or maybe it's President Trump is the one you don't agree with. Just going to blank statement it out and be honest with you right now. If we want to be at a spot where we're peaceable, turn off your news, right? Get news and understand what's happening around you. But what's flowing into you is what's going to flow out of you. And if you want to be peaceable, I encourage you, flip the lens and begin praying for our leaders. Begin praying for those around us. And I'm telling you, it does something on the inside of you. It really does. It begins to change the way that you look at people. Because God loves them just as much as he loves anyone else. And what I believe is ultimately the reverse to all of this, and the part that we've got to get to, is the idea that God wants to see everyone come to repentance. That's our part to play. For the church, our job is not to go out and to change the world except to show the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. That's our job, right? I encourage you, get involved in politics and do all those kinds of things if you're called to that, right? And if you're called, jump in. But I'm just going to tell you, I want to be a peacemaker. And as a Christian, I want to show the love of God to people. And if I want to do that, I've got to change my heart, the way that I look at people. The people who are unlovable, I want to be better at loving unlovable people. The last one, attitude of generosity. Get my podcast from Wednesday the 25th, and it pretty much sums up all of that. Sweet. grow in our generosity. Let's pray. Father.